This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans, to What the Puck? It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. The Capitals came back from their Western Canadian road trip to face off against the Penguins. There's Dirty Gwynns from Pittsburgh joining me right now to talk about this last week of hockey. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
It's not like I was just booing myself.
You kind of just did boo yourself.
Like, I was intending to boo the Penguins bit, but then you went right into, like, announcing me. And yeah. I was like, wait, that sounded like I just booed myself.
Well, maybe if I said your name and then you booed, it would be more directed towards yourself.
Well, that would definitely have been booing myself. And it's okay if people want to boo me. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think people might be booing you more than Coach Bruce Boudreau over in Anaheim. But we'll talk about him in the NHL.
Around the NHL one of these days.
Yeah. He might be coming on.
Going out there.
And maybe he'll be a guest on our show because he might not be too busy soon. But
he's kind of also doing.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out. But anyway, Western Canadian road trip. The boys came home with two wins and a bunch of Timbits and some Tim Hortons coffee. But two wins. Let's talk about those games up against the Canucks.
Love talking about Canada.
I love talking about Canada. Canada's the best.
Oh, that was crazy Canadian.
So they were in Vancouver, and then they went to Edmonton up against the Oilers. Two wins. Let's talk a little bit about that Oilers game. It was a 7-4 victory. We were talking about this before the show. We were talking about how the fact that they let up four goals. That was Grubauer. That was his first game as a full-time NHLer. Obviously, four goals isn't very good. But how do you feel he fared in his first NHL game?
He could have done better. I definitely feel like he had some mistakes. I think that was just an ugly game overall, but I think he definitely could have done a little bit better, but so could the entire defense, I think, in terms of helping him out. I think when you have a younger guy playing and he's your backup, you know, usually you see defenses play a little harder so that way. Not to say they're not playing hard normally, but, you know, they try and do just that little bit more to help him out, and we didn't really see it. But, yeah, he definitely he's going to want some of those back, and he's going to want to move on from that game, and I think the next time we see him, he'll definitely play better than he was at that time.
And when is the next? Oh, the next back-to-back is actually this weekend, so we might see him.
Oh.
Potentially we might see him on Halloween in Florida. So
dun-dun-dun.
Potentially we'll see what happens. So let's talk about this defense. Obviously, we'll talk about the Penguins games a little bit more in depth, but there is some concern here with the way the defense has been playing. Nate Schmidt hasn't seen a lot of playing time. I don't think he's seen any playing time in the last week. It's been all Taylor Chorney and Dmitry Orlov. How do you feel Dmitry's doing in this past week? Because I feel as if he's still showing he's got a little bit of rust on him.
Yeah, he's definitely had some rusty moments. He's had some good moments. He's sort of right now, and it's still early. They've played, what,
Eight games.
What are they, 5-2?
I believe so.
Seven games or eight games? Either way, he's had some good moments. He's had some bad moments. He's you know, it's sort of what we expected, being is that he hasn't played in so long. And so I think for him to be progressing is fine. If these sort of mistakes continue to happen as we go along, then there's definitely something to talk about, because that's a problem. But I think that the errors he's making are not necessarily glaring, though there have been a couple of times where he's trying to play with the puck too much, and then he turns it over. He did a couple of times against the Penguins where he was trying to play with it too much in the defensive zone, and he turned it over, which is a problem. You can't do that, especially against teams like the Penguins, who, even though they started slowly, are a very talented team. So he's still got some room to grow, and I think the team would be better off served finding a way to get a veteran defensive defenseman to play with him, as opposed to Schmidt, who's sort of an up-and-coming guy, and Chorney, who's a journeyman.
Well, like, you think he would do a little bit better with Taylor Chorney, and I think Chorney's been doing, you know, his job for the most part this past week since the beginning of the season. So do you sit Dmitry Orlov and let Nate Schmidt kind of take his place, or do you have, like, who do you switch out? Because we got to give Nate some sort of time here, at least, I mean, just to develop his game a little bit, especially with back-to-back games coming up on Friday and Saturday. Do you see Nate Schmidt being subbed in for one of these guys?
Did he play in one of the Western Canada games?
I don't believe so. I thought he's been sitting this whole time. I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
I would play him. I think you can sort of rotate him and Chorney. It's early in the season. You let these guys fight it out. Whichever one's doing better in practice and whoever's doing better in the games gets the opportunity to play. But at some point, I think that may be the biggest thing that they look at going into the trading deadline. And I know it's October and the deadline's so much further from now. But, I mean, I think that's going to be the biggest thing they'll be looking at right now, and the biggest hole they have in their roster is that third pairing. Who's going to play with Orlov? Well, in terms of being able to back him up, because if he's going to go and make these mistakes, someone's going to cover for him.
Would it be good experience for Orlov to maybe move and play with Niskanen, or to play with Carlson?
I wouldn't break up the other pairings.
Yeah, the other two pairings are very good. They work very well together, but I'm just wondering.
Niskanen had some trouble last night.
He definitely did. he definitely did. And
thinking he wasn't the only one.
Yeah, the whole defense really had a hard time last night. Well, because they were playing so much against the Penguins, because half of the game, I want to say more than half of the game, was in the Capitals' own zone. It was.
Schmidt played against the Canucks.
Right.
I knew I saw his name somewhere.
He did play again. Okay, gotcha. I mean, I don't want to break up those two other defensive pairings because they both work very well together. They've looked good. They do have their bad moments, but I wonder if putting Dmitry Orlov with a guy like Niskanen or Carlson or Brooks Orpik, one of those guys, if maybe some of their, you know, their veteran talent can kind of rub off on him. Because, I mean, we've talked about almost every episode, but he is a guy who is still coming from being off for a year. So I'm wondering, if the Capitals are winning, you know, 7-0 or something, do you just kind of like slide him in there just to get a little bit of playing time with somebody who's got a little bit more experience, somebody more of a veteran presence?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want to break up the pairings, but I do want more of a veteran to play with someone like Dmitry Orlov. But they don't have the cap space. That's the other problem, is that if you go out and you try and acquire someone, you're not going to have the cap space, even if you trade Schmidt or Chorney, which you're not going to get a veteran for one of those two guys unless Schmidt's part of a package with a draft pick or somebody else. So I think the biggest thing is that they have to find a way to get cap space if they want to bring in someone like that, which is why I think they may wait until sort of closer to the end of the season, because then you're only taking on that cap hit, depending on their contract, but you're only taking on that cap hit through the rest of the regular season.
Right.
Going into the following season, if he still has a contract, that's different. But if you get a rental or something like that, then you're only taking on that cap hit for the end of the season. So if the guy's, you know, cap it's really like $3 million, but it's towards the end of the season, his cap it could be less than $1 million. So you may still have space available at that time, unless they've changed the rules, in which case everything I just said is irrelevant.
All right, we'll see towards the end of the trade deadline about that. But another name I want to bring up, you know, the fourth line is definitely struggling a little bit. I feel as if we have three solid lines that are playing very well together.
You're not scoring.
I mean, so Backstrom being on the second line helps that second line scoring. Let's jump into the Pens game, because that's the one that has the most newsworthy of things. One of the biggest things that I kind of saw was Chandler Stephenson. He's taken Michael Lotta's spot on that fourth line, but up against the Penguins, it kind of showed how inexperienced that guy is, because he was taking dumb penalties. He wasn't playing well. I was not impressed with Chandler Stephenson in this past game. I'm wondering how much more time he's going to be up with the Capitals and when he's going to go back to Hershey at this point.
Yeah, a little bit of a rough game. It seemed like he maybe settled down a little bit in the third period, but he struggled. But it's a young guy who's getting his first shot in the NHL, and he's going to have these games where he makes a mistake, and it's against a tough team. And I think it's, you know, no matter what young guy you bring up, at some point, unless you're just going to consistently rotate veterans, you're at some point going to need to replace them with a younger player. So I think having these opportunities to go out and play in these big games and get that experience, especially early in the season, is okay. So if at some point, you know, later in the season, you're going to need him, or you may potentially need him, and if he's still playing well, then I think they'll be fine.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about him at this time.
Well, I'm just wondering how much more time he's going to be up here, because I think giving him that one big game up against the Penguins, maybe it's time for him to go back to Hershey and get Lotta back on the ice. Unlike Schmidt, like you said, he played in Vancouver. I don't think Lotta has played in a week or so.
He hasn't played in a while, but we weren't seeing a lot from Lotta. Trotz wanted to shake things up. I think he likes more or less what he's seeing from Stephenson. I don't know why that name.
I don't think it's Stephenson. I don't think that.
I know, it just sounds funny if I said that. He's not even on the roster. Did they send him down today?
I would have known that. I don't think so.
That's harsh. They didn't even put him on the roster.
Poor guy.
Looking on the official Caps website, he is not. Are we sure they didn't send him? I'm going to Google this right now because he's not on the roster.
I'm almost positive he was not sent down because I feel as if somebody would have said something.
Yeah, I don't see anything. All right, well, I forgot what I was even going to look up. When I was looking at his face-off percentage. Where is it? Oh, it hasn't played a game. He's, I mean, over the last, how many games is that? Four, five games? He's been at 50% or better, with the exception of one. He was just under 50% in face-off percentage. So it's not terrible. He was 100% against Vancouver. That's impressive. 50% against Calgary, 50% against Edmonton, and against Pittsburgh he was 75%, which is impressive considering the Caps were getting whooped in the faceoffs department, at least the first two periods. So they, fourth line's not scoring goals, but I'm not too worried about it right now. I think as long as he doesn't have any more games like that, or not too many, it's every once in a while. I don't think we were seeing that much from Michael Lotta, unfortunately. I like the guy, but I don't think we're seeing too much from there. And if they're going to free up some cap space by potentially moving someone, if they could, it would likely be someone like potentially Brooks Like, and then you may have a spot for Lotta there in the end. So I think against the next couple of games, you still roll with Stephenson. I'm going to keep calling him Stephenson because it's funny sounding. Keep rolling with Stephenson.
That sounds like one of the characters from The Vampire Diaries. Isn't that one of their characters, one of those vampires?
I don't watch that show. I'm an adult.
I watched until this year. But
no, I think you go with Stephenson for a little while longer. And if he has a couple more showings, like you think against the Penguins, maybe you put him up in the press box, or maybe you do send him down. But I give him a little more time.
All right. I'm just intrigued.
Not ready to bail on the kid just yet.
Sure. I mean, we again, very early in the season, eight games in, so there's definitely time to bounce back. And you just got to feel for Michael Lotta, you know. He was.
Yeah, but it's.
I mean, it's a sport and it's a business. I understand that, but you know, Tom Wilson's probably making fun of him like crazy right now.
That would be so messed up if he was doing that. Like, if I'm Wilson, or not Wilson, if I'm Lotta, I would be pissed if he kept making fun of me. Like, I doubt he. That's that. There's got to be some sort of like unwritten rule of like, if you're one of the guys that's never playing, you don't talk smack.
I guess so. I just imagine Wilson being like, you know, talk about playing the entire game and having Lotta like making dinner
so
or something.
I'm so tired. My legs are just. And you're like, screw you, man.
Oh man. Oh yeah. So the fourth line is really the only one on offense that worries me a little bit, because every other line is doing their job. They are scoring goals. They are looking good. Up against the Penguins, like you said, there was a big problem with winning faceoffs. Jay Beagle, I mean, that was his job. He won faceoffs like crazy. That's the one thing he was really good at. But up against the Penguins, I mean, there was really nobody that was any good at winning any of these faceoffs. And I think Barry Trotz even shifted some people around so other people could get on the faceoff, because it was just not working against the Penguins last night.
We saw the return of the top three. Well, we wait for the, I guess, the, what are they called? TKO line got broken up at one point?
Yeah, with Burakovsky went up to the first line.
No, what? Backstrom did.
Backstrom went up, Burakovsky went up at one point as well.
Trotz, I guess, was trying freaking everything to make something work, because nothing was working last night. But that kind of game, like, I saw it coming. I may have tweeted something about it earlier, I can't remember, but before the game, not earlier now, because that wouldn't make sense. It's after the game. You just kind of see these things happen. They happen all the time where you come off a big road trip, you're playing great, you have a bunch of days off, and then you go into a game against a team that's desperate. And you're going to see that they're going to play their you-know-what's off, and unfortunately, usually you come out of that with a loss. And so I kind of saw that one coming. They were due, unfortunately, but they were due for a loss.
Yeah, we saw what happened at the beginning of the season up against a Devils team that wasn't very good, that played the night before, and they looked very, very laxed. You know, up against the Devils. They still were able to come out with a win, but they did not look like they were really rushed into doing anything. I think that's the same thing here. They had 4 days off. So really, they kind of get in that comfort zone, and they don't they kind of slack off maybe in practice, because you can see it. These guys were not in game shape. They weren't ready to go. The Penguins kind of came in all guns blazing, and the Capitals just kind of – they didn't take the night off, because they've been known to do that in the past. We haven't seen one of those games yet, except for maybe when – Alex Ovechkin actually did take the night off. But
no kidding.
But this was they were on defense and they were not playing their own game for the majority of the game up against the Penguins. They did not look good. Kuznetsov at least came out with another point, another goal. He kind of continued his streak of I think 4 games now. He's either had a goal or a point or something. So he's performing well. But the rest of the team, you know, really really struggled against the Penguins, who are just now coming into their own as a team, especially like. With the addition of Phil Kessel, you know, they were going to light the world on fire. Then they kind of realized Kessel and Crosby really don't mix, and they got broken up. And then now things are starting to click a little differently for the Penguins. So this is a tale of two very different teams. One that started off pretty lackadaisical, got hot, came back, and now is tired. And now the Penguins just starting to find their footing. And this was really a confidence booster for them to come out and beat the Capitals since they've been struggling so much. So it was an interesting game to watch, and it wasn't really fun to watch as a Caps fan because the Capitals didn't play the game they should have. They didn't dictate it. They were following the Pens' lead, and they were chasing the Penguins the entire game.
Yeah, they definitely could have played a lot better. I mean, the Penguins came out and dictated the play for a decent portion of that game, and they had their chances. I mean, Marcus Johansson had 2 beautiful chances right in front of the net, but Fleury played out of his mind. If you play that well, you're going to put your team in a good chance to win. I mean, he made one mistake against Kuznetsov, had a goal. And, you know, of course, it was Kuznetsov that would score that one. But, you know, they just kind of like the Penguins played a great game in the Capitals for the most part, and the Caps did not. I mean, if you look at the Caps went and got that goal. And then, of course, another team went and scored, you know, within the next minute.
I mean,
was hanging out by himself. So why is no one there being like, no, thank you for that rebound? But no, he got to hang out and do his own thing. And the other guy, like, it was not enough. We did not see enough from the Capitals last night.
Yeah, and there were two really big glaring things. Like you said with the rebounds, that it was the downfall up against Lundqvist last year in the playoffs. I would watch so many games, and me not being an athlete, not being a coach or anything, just being a fan of the game, Lundqvist for the entire game, the entire series of that Stanley Cup playoffs, they were just juicy rebound after juicy rebound after juicy rebound, and there was nobody there for the Capitals to get those rebounds and take another shot. Same thing happened tonight. They're not learning from that mistake. I don't know if Trotz has got to do something a little bit better to make sure that kind of stuff works, but it's a bad habit they have of not having somebody parked in front of the net, somebody, a big body like Tom Wilson. That should be his job, and to get those rebounds and get those dirty goals. I remember one. I'm glad you brought up Marcus Johansson. This is why Marcus Johansson only got a 1-year deal. He was parked in front of the net. He was just standing there, and a puck literally hit his stick, and it took him a second or two to react to it, and then...
Wow, what's that? Oh, my God. What is... Oh, it's okay.
Right.
I do something with that.
And he missed a goal. I mean, and I even think like he lost the puck and it started going back down the ice. He was not paying attention. I don't know where his head was at that point. But that's why the dude only has a 1-year deal. That's why so many people are like, he's a top 6 player. He's so good. And I've never really seen it because he does have those dumb mistakes.
He's been doing well on the power play for the most part. But right now, let's look up his stats. I was looking at this earlier today because I was going to say something about Marcus Johansson. I mean, he's got 5 points, 2 goals in 3 games. I'm sorry, 2 goals and 3 assists in 8 games. So he's a little under a point per game player. It's not terrible, but, you know, he had 2 great chances last night. And yes, Fleury played exceptionally well, but when you get those kind of chances, you got to bury him. And, you know, he's done well in terms of putting his butt in front of the goalie defensively, or I'm sorry, on offense, so that other guys are scoring on the power play. But I want to start seeing some more points from him, especially if he's going to be a top 6 forward.
Yeah, exactly. To me, I think you kind of bump him down to the fourth line. You put Burakovsky in his place.
He's also been struggling a little bit, though. We've seen him on the power play. He looks pretty good. I do wonder if part of his struggle, though, was early on he was struggling as well, and he was on the second line. I think, you know, it's still early to see how these guys are going to play, and we might see Johansson and Burakovsky shuffle, but Trotz seems to like Johansson, and hopefully he starts or continues to sort of some of the form in terms of scoring goals. He doesn't have any power play points as far as I could tell. So if he can keep scoring not 5-on-5, then I got to think the power play goals start coming soon.
And
he's got 1 power play point.
And what happened to the power play last night? There weren't many chances for the Capitals to you know, take a hold of the game. But with a team that, what, I think they're ranked number two this year. I mean, again, only eight games, but they're ranked number two in the NHL for power plays, and the Penguins are, like, down to 11. They're 11th in the league for penalty kill. So the Capitals really should have been able to come up with a goal or two when they were on the power play, but they just couldn't get it done last night. Was it just Fleury? Was he the one that was stopping everything, or was there something that the Capitals could have done better during the power play?
Well, some of their passing definitely could have been a lot better. Not just on the power play, the entire game, their passing was garbage for significant portions of that game, where they were just making bad passes. They're assuming someone was going to be somewhere. And yeah, sometimes that works and it looks really pretty. And then when it doesn't work, it looks just, you know, horrible in terms of the way they should be playing. And there's a lot of turnovers last night and taking away their chances. And yeah, Fleury played great. No question about that. He is one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, the Penguins won that game, you know, aside from the other guy scoring goals. But the power play, just overall, the Caps did not look their best last night. They played well. They played well enough to win against a bad team, not well enough to beat a good one.
Yeah, and the Capitals, when they were in Western Canada, they looked like a team that would be unstoppable. But obviously, they can be stopped. And, you know, they're not going to have an 82-game winning streak. They're not going to go undefeated this year. So it's okay to lose a game or two. But you know, we got to make sure that they see the mistakes made.
I'll take a 98-game winning streak.
Yeah, why not?
Regular season and four rounds in the playoffs.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. But what is with this habit they have of getting a goal and then 20 seconds later giving one up? What is with this team? This is a habit they've had for more than just last season.
This started with the Adam Oates era.
What is this? Like, do they get a goal and they're just so happy that they forget that they have to finish the game? What's going on?
I mean, it's tough to say, obviously, because, you know, we don't know what's in their heads, but it seems to me it's got to be sort of a lackadaisical effort and a little bit of a lazy play on their part in terms of, you know, they're like, yeah, we scored. Oh, crap, they scored. You know, like,
we're in the lead and it's gone.
Last night, my girlfriend was upstairs and I'm in the living room watching the game. And so the Caps scored, so I go running upstairs to tell her. And then I go back downstairs and literally like a minute later, I'm back up there, Penn's tied it up. And then, like, a few minutes, like, a minute or two later, Penn's up 2-1. And she's just like, what? It seems like they just get ahead of themselves, and they start giving up goals. And it happened a lot in the Adam Oates era, and they're still – it's happened in, you know, last season, and it happened again this season against the Penguins. And it's something that they got to really look into because this is a problem.
It's a big problem, and I don't know how to fix that. I'm just shocked. Like, every time the Capitals get a goal, I'm like, this is awesome. But I'm a little worried in 30 seconds we're going to be back where we were just a minute ago with it being tied or something like that. So I don't know where this habit came from or why the Capitals continue to do it. But from now on, just be on, like, you know, after you get a goal, just be on, like, red alert.
After you score a goal, put on five defensemen. Problem solved.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
There you go, guys. You're welcome.
So the last thing I want to bring up about this this Penguins game, you and I kind of fought about this a little bit on Twitter, but pulling Braden Holtby, I think that was the dumbest move Trotz could have done last night. I don't think I'm a fan. I'm not an athlete. I'm not a coach. I would have kept Braden Holtby in that entire time. I understand you're trying to get that extra goal, that extra man, but with the Penguins, the way they played this game, with the way they dominated, how much time was spent in the Caps' end, obviously, you know, these players, having an extra guy on the ice isn't really going to affect anything. I wouldn't have pulled Braden Holtby at all. I would have kept him in the entire time. And then just bad timing on Barry Trotz's part, because I would have had, if you were going to pull Braden Holtby, Braden was like waving to people saying, like, when do you want me out of here? And they waited and they waited, and then they got all the way to the other end of the ice and then called him. If once it hits, like, center ice and the Capitals are traveling down the ice, that's when you call Braden Holtby and have him on the bench. Bad call by Trotz, bad timing, bad idea. Just all of that bad, because obviously the Penguins
terrible job.
Just got it back easy. just easily got the puck back, took a shot, and boom, it was over. And that really, just after this entire game, just the way it ends with something stupid like that, that just like ruins your whole night.
It was
night.
Unfortunate, definitely unfortunate.
So let's talk a little bit about that. If you were Barry Trotz, what would you have done?
I would have pulled him, but I would have pulled him a little earlier. I'm not a huge fan of pulling the goalie thing, but I understand it just because it makes me nervous. But I understand the Capitals were dominating the play at that point in terms of offense and controlling the puck. And with the extra guy, yeah, maybe you give yourself a better chance to score. And I would have done it a little earlier. I can understand maybe why you wait a little longer, because it gives the Penguins less of a chance to score an empty netter because they have less time to potentially do it. But the guy that took the empty net was I forgot his name now. The guy who scored the first goal, I think, was also the one who got the empty net. I mean, just kind of floated it. That was actually a nice shot. I would have done it. I would have done it a little earlier, so to give the Capitals more time to potentially get a goal. And it's just unfortunate, sort of the timing, the way it worked out. And Trotz, I'm sure that wasn't what he expected, but it's gonna happen. I mean, they had plenty of chances to score to win that game, and much earlier, and they didn't do it. And so that one, had they won, it kind of would have felt like a cheap win.
Sure.
Because they didn't really earn it.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're early on in the season. You want to see the Capitals win every game, but obviously this team isn't as dominant as we thought at the beginning of the year. There's still some work to be done. There's still some things to fix. And I think even though Barry Trotz made that bad call, he admitted after the game it was his call. It was a bad call. It was a bad timing choice. But he manned up and took ownership of it. And I think Barry Trotz is the guy that can really work with this team and get them into a better team. You know, everybody, all those guys have talent. So, Well, there's still plenty of hockey left until April, so we got time to fix those mistakes, and hopefully they can do it, because I don't want to be a broken record on this podcast talking about the Capitals got a goal and then immediately lost a point. And
yeah, oh, look, they gave one up.
Yeah, so I don't want that. But we do have to say congrats to Kuznetsov. He was voted, what, the NHL's first star of the week?
Yes, he was. Last week, Kuznetsov got the first star from the NHL, so congratulations to him. I thought that was pretty cool. He did have a pretty good week, though.
He had a great week.
Scored a bunch of goals, did a bunch of good things. Caps had a good week there up until the Penguins game. So, I mean, there's a lot of talk about how good this kid is going to be, and, there's some talk. I was listening to the radio down here in D.C., and one of the guys was talking about, I forget who he was referencing, but they were talking about how Kuznetsov could be, by the end of the season, the best player on the Capitals. I don't know if I'll go that far, but he could definitely be, he probably already is, but like top three.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him up there in the top three. I don't know if you saw this or not, but him and Sidney Crosby were chirping back to each other.
That would be the worst fight ever.
I don't know. Semin had a pretty bad
fight.
Like,
neither one, that's true. But like, neither one of them are fighters. So just like, it would be so lame.
But I think Kuznetsov, definitely worth the wait here. We waited, like 5 years? 4 or 5 years for him to finally come over?
It was a while.
And then he does come over, and he struggles a bit. And but he really, he's put in some hard work, and he's definitely looking good. He's working well with Oshie and Ovechkin. It's good to have him on this team. He is it's going to be very expensive after this year. But I think that it's great to.
I gotta wonder if that this is the last year for Johansson, just because they're not gonna have the cap space.
Johansson barely stayed this year, so I mean, unless he becomes like miraculous and can move the puck with the force or something like that, I don't see Johansson staying after this year. But
don't reference Star Wars, you dork.
Come on, it's in again. It's
Let's see, who else is going to be a free agent after the season? Johansson's restricted again. Good lord, Chimera, he's going to be unrestricted. So I got to wonder if he's going to be gone. Tom Wilson, he'll be re-signed. Lotta, tough call.
He might be gone. Dimitri, yeah.
If Lotta goes, then that means that, not that it wasn't already, but that Philip Forsberg trade just becomes that much uglier.
Yeah.
Orlov, they'll re-sign. Chorney, I mean, maybe he's a backup. Who else is a bigger? Connor Carrick will need a new contract. That's the biggest one. So I got to think. No, wait, because Kuznetsov has another year.
Does he? I thought he was up this year.
He's got. No. I think he's got a new deal. He's got a $3 million.
Oh,
deal going through the end of next season.
Even better.
After that, then things get a little interesting.
Yeah, then he gets a little expensive, but hey, hey.
I think Johansson will depend on Burakovsky. If Burakovsky shows the progression that they want, then they'll feel probably comfortable enough to let Johansson go. But if he doesn't, then things are a little different.
Yeah. But congrats, Kuzi. Welcome to the NHL. Happy to have you. Glad you're not in the KHL anymore.
Yeah, seriously.
Took you long enough to get here. Now, last thing I think we're supposed to talk about tonight, the Capitals have finally released their promotional schedule.
Yay!
I don't know about you guys, if you've checked this out. I love my team. I love this organization. I love the Caps. Their promotions suck balls. I mean...
Damn, dude.
Just terrible. I understand, like, you know, giving out magnets and a scarf and towels and maybe like a lunch.
I keep the damn magnets.
But like, you're putting stuff. Student rush night, T-shirt pack night.
Not student rush night's fine.
Family pack night.
They're throwing that in there with other stuff.
None of those are promotions. Those are ticket packages.
Student rush night. What I think it is.
Student rush night is, hold on. It's loading. It's available for select games throughout the regular season. Anyone with a valid student ID can purchase mezzanine tickets for $30 and receive a coupon for a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. So again,
I don't want Chick-fil-A because their owner's a D-bag.
There you go. Now there is nice stuff like the Hockey Fights Cancer Night where they auction off the jerseys. That's all cool. But, like, month of November is Movember. Grow a mustache to raise awareness for men's health. So that means I have to do all the work and grow the mustache. You know, I don't even get,
you like, get anything for growing said mustache?
No! Like, I want, like, a t-shirt with, like, Slapshot with, like, a big, big, crazy mustache or something. Nothing.
Oh, God, of course you do.
Nothing.
They have some interesting ones towards the end of the season.
Two. They have two.
Well, wait, December... has Slapshot Santa, which I don't know what that means.
That means you get pictures with Slapshot in a chair.
Oh, that's it? I thought it was like a bobblehead or something, and his dressed as Santa.
I want to know what Red Rockers Thanksgiving is, because if these Red Rockers are dressed up like sexy pilgrims, I'm for it.
All right, calm down.
I'm for it. But anyway, here's another thing. Caps wear their third jersey. Not a promotion!
Why is that being... I like how it's presented by Boeing.
Right. So
that might be my favorite.
What
What's Holtby's giveaway night?
That's the only that one and one more. So
how come they don't attach pictures to these things so we can know what they are?
Because they haven't designed them
yet.
Like
now I just want to know what it is because I can't.
They haven't designed them yet. There's nothing there. February 26th.
Like there's a Holtby related item, but like is it a mask?
Holt Beast giveaway. So all I can hope
also,
is
also why is it hashtagged?
Well, that's because it's the Twitter age. I don't know. This is what I want for the Holt Beast giveaway. I want a bobblehead of Holtby, but I want him to look like a Teen Wolf. So I want it to be like
he kind of does in the playoffs.
Right. I want it to be a werewolf wearing hockey pads. That would be killer. If you guys do that, if the Caps do that, then I forgive you for every other night, every other promotion. I highly doubt you'll do it. But anyway.
Yeah, you never know. I want to see the Kuznetsov statue. Is that a bobblehead and they're just trying to be like more professional with the way they write it or something?
I don't think it's a bobblehead because he's the Blood Drive giveaway bobblehead. So I'm wondering if the Kuznetsov statue is another like lawn gnome or something.
Oh God, no.
I have a Backstrom one.
And then no wait, wasn't there another one?
No! That's it.
No, wait, there was another one I saw. Nope. Never mind.
Yep, that's it.
Well, we'd have to... All right, let's compare.
Promotional schedule for the Penguins. Hold on. Oh, look at this. First night, October 13th. Penguins schedule magnet.
Don't get me started.
And then the 15th, a Penguins team calendar. October 7th.
Cool.
October 20th, Penguins selfie stick.
No, you know what? No, okay? I'm done with them.
November.
No, Penguins, I already didn't like you as it is. Now you made it worse. Congratulations. You're giving out a selfie stick? I hate you.
November 17th.
You have one, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
All right, well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the last episode of the
Penguins ugly sweater knit cap.
I'm I'm on the Minnesota Wild one. Their opening night is also a schedule magnet.
Must be a thing. Okay, the Bruins are giving away none. No promotional schedule for the Bruins. So the Capitals are doing better than the Bruins.
Let's see. The Wild are giving away a scarf, a flag. No, a towel. I'm sorry. Hockey flag towel. State of hockey flag. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Let's see what the Flyers are giving away.
Okay, this is getting out of control.
Danny Briere retirement night. Commemorative ticket giveaway. Apple vacation night. What do any of these words mean? Black Friday game. What the deuce? Super pretzel dollar pretzel night.
That's not bad.
All right. So that's the Capitals promotional schedule. And there's two things. And
I want that statue. Unless it's a gnome, then never mind.
I will take Dan's gnome.
And I
want a Teen Wolf. And I want a Teen Wolf Holtby bobblehead. I want.
Think that's what it is, dude.
I want it. That's what I want.
I like face painting or something.
Oh god, it's gonna be so bad. Oh, I'm gonna have to go to the Hershey Bears to get a cool giveaway. Apparently.
Oh, they always give away some interesting ones.
They do.
We'll check that out.
All right. So, is that it for Caps World? Anything else we should cover?
That's pretty much it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break now, and we are going to go down on the farm. But before we go there, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I'm just kidding. There's probably some stuff going on. It is.
It's harvest all, time.
God, that's terrible. Anyways, since we last talked, Hershey went 2-0-1 with wins over Utica and Hartford. Former Caps prospect Chris Bork, who returned to the fold this season with Hershey, scored the game winner on Saturday over Hartford. The Bears are back at it on Friday in Syracuse, followed by a home game on Halloween against St. John's and a home game on Sunday against, guess what, Brandon? It's against Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, they're back, the affiliate of the Flyers?
Are they?
I think so. Anyways, in other Bears news, GM Doug Yinks, I think I'm saying it correctly, announced that he will retire at the end of the season. He has been working in the Bears organization since 1982.
Wow.
He's been there longer, if I read the article correctly, than I've been alive. If I read it incorrectly, I apologize. Also, Cavs prospect Madison Bowie scored his first professional goal this past Sunday, so congratulations to him. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-3, unfortunately, since we last talked, with a win over Florida. The Stingrays will be back at it on Friday in Florida, followed by a home game on Sunday against Evansville, and Tuesday also at home against Florida. That's what's going on down on the farm.
You know what kind of promotions they have this weekend in Hershey?
Hold on. I was looking through them, but I'm in November.
On Halloween night, it's Reese's Trick or Treat.
Dude, that sounds kind of cool.
That Although sounds amazing.
It doesn't have a pop-up thing to tell you what it's about. Scooby-Doo will be on site. I am there.
Yeah, and look, November 1st, Hershey Park Pass Night. So if you want a free Hershey Park Pass, all you got to do is go to the November 1st game.
That is pretty good. They're all the same organization, though. So that's like if the Caps game, they're giving away free Verizon. No, that doesn't really work because Verizon doesn't own. All right, never mind. I take back what I just said. I don't know where I was going with that. They have a teacher appreciation night. So groups of 15 or more of their teachers, you can get, I think it says of teachers, groups of 15 or more from the education field receive $19.50 for 100 level seating. That's a good deal.
That is a good deal.
I don't remember what it normally costs for 100 level seating.
Like 25.
No, I think a little more than that.
Yeah.
They have like a, they have some interesting ones. I don't know if they have any bobbleheads, though.
They have one where one of the players is dressed up like a firefighter. Oh, there's a snow globe night. The last one, last year's was Nathan Walker.
They Oh, I want that one. Yeah. I almost won it on eBay, and then someone stole it from me. Disaster. It was rally towel night on February 20th. Janitorial services rally towel. So if you get upset, you can wipe your butt with it, apparently.
Oh, my gosh.
That joke writes itself.
Ooh, there's a garden gnome night, April 16th.
No, that's all you do. No, thank you.
I'll take a gnome. I'll take it. Who's going to help me out and give me a gnome?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's
garden
it.
Gnomes are creepy.
Hey, I have a Buck Showalter and a Nick Backstrom.
I just have the Backstrom one, and it's creepy.
Well, you're creepy.
That's excellent.
All right, so that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. We might have somebody who could be a guest on What the Puck because he's not going to be busy like we said at the beginning of the show. Coach Stan's going to run through all the news, and I bet you that's one of them. Coach Stan, what's going on around the NHL?
What? I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm so confused.
Come on. There's a guy. He works in Anaheim. Might be free for an interview.
Oh, no, he's not not in the news just yet. But if things go the way they are, he might be soon. Let's see. Where shall we begin? Let's start in Nashville, where they signed what have been restricted free agent defenseman Mattias Ekholm to a six-year contract extension worth a reported total of $22.5 million. That comes with a cap hit of 3.75, so he got paid. Dallas defenseman Jason Demers was suspended for two games for elbowing Pittsburgh forward Nick Bonino during their game last Thursday. That's not very nice, and he had to sit for it. Winnipeg forward Alexander Burmistrov was fined for elbowing Minnesota's defenseman Jared Spurgeon during their game on Sunday. That's kind of rude. New Jersey forward Steven Gianna was fined for spearing. That's even ruder. Ottawa's Mark Borowiecki, I'm going to guess I got that correctly, during their game last Thursday. And finally, Boston revealed their Winter Classic jerseys this past Saturday. The team heads Zdeno Chara, Tuukka Rask, and David Krejci present the jerseys. They're mostly black with what they're going to call gold stripes on the sleeves and the waist. Otherwise, they are pretty boring. That's news for the past week in the NHL.
I would have gone with like a gray or like a tan even, but like black?
No, they don't got time for that apparently. They're all right, I guess. Did you see them yet?
I did see them. Yeah, the logo looks so out of place on a black jersey. I don't like it.
Caps used to have a black jersey.
I know.
I like that jersey.
You're the only one.
That's bull.
The only one.
That is false, sir.
Coach Dan, party of one.
No, I mean, I wasn't a fan of like the. I liked it. I have a Cali Johansson black jersey.
All right, so let's go over what's going on before we talk again. So on Friday, October 30th, the Capitals are staying in D.C. They are up against the Blue Jackets, who have struggled coming out the gate here. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch it locally on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Halloween, October 31st, the Capitals
are... I'll be too busy giving out candy to really watch that game.
I will force kids to watch the game for a little bit, and then they will get candy.
That sounds like you want to get arrested.
Yeah, you want a full-size Butterfinger? You watch 10 minutes of this game.
You want a full-size Butterfinger? You come in my house. You're like, no thanks.
Woo! I swear, right. Officer.
Can't record this week. I'm in prison.
All right. Well, the Capitals are going to be in Florida. Enough scary stuff goes on down there. They're going to try to scare the Panthers into a win here. Capitals up against the Panthers. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. Don't forget that plus. And then on Tuesday, November 3rd, the Capitals travel up to New York, playing up in the Garden up against the Rangers. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. So three games, potentially the Capitals should be able to fare pretty well against a lot of these teams. We'll see Lundqvist for the first time this year. That'll be an interesting one. But, you know, Columbus, everyone was saying, was the dark horse of the Eastern Conference, that they were going to go far. And really, they've come out of the gate and haven't really done well. So what do you expect for the Capitals and Blue Jackets game?
I mean, I expect the Caps to win that game. I expect them to win the game against Florida, and then we'll sort of see what happens against New York. But they, I definitely think they, whether Columbus came out strong or not, I think the Caps are a good enough team to be able to go out and beat them without, you know, I mean, they have some trouble, but nothing too crazy. But I'm not too concerned about that one or the Florida game. It's the Rangers game. I think it's going to be the most telling over the next three in terms of where this team is at. But the Columbus, yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm not too concerned about that one. As long as the Caps play their game, they play well enough, they should be okay. But Columbus is, I mean, they're going to be a good team. I think they just struggled right now. And I got to imagine they're going to turn it around.
Yeah, but it'll be a good test for the Capitals, and it'll be nice to see them up in New York again to see what they can do, because if the Capitals make it into the playoffs, there is a very good chance you're going to see New York at some point in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, of course they will, because it's the freaking Caps and the Rangers.
Yeah. I almost want to say Caps-Rangers is a bigger rivalry than Caps-Penguins, given the fact that during the at least the Ovechkin era, the Capitals have only gone against the Penguins once, and they're always up against the Rangers almost every single year. So,
yeah. Maybe.
We'll
nah, see. I don't know. I think the whole Crosby thing, you know, the thing that the NHL keeps pushing, the whole Ovechkin-Crosby business.
10 years. They're still milking that thing for 10 years now.
They are milking it for all it's worth.
Yeah. So if you guys want to talk hockey and puck and Capitals and whatever else, you can tweet to Coach Dan or I. We are both available on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which they're not giving out any, would appear, during the regular season.
Nope,
that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about this podcast or any other podcast from Brando Cash Entertainment. Go like us over on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Go like What the Puck on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, as well as on Twitter at @WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you guys will be the first to know, as long as you like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And we always post cool photos or videos we find or articles. If we find it interesting about the Capitals, we make sure to share it with you guys on both those sites as well. So make sure you follow us there. We do this show for free. You guys listen, stream, and download it for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. But it is time consuming, guys. So what we would really appreciate is if you guys please spread the word about What the Puck, about the Capitals. Be proud fans of the Caps. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web, let people know I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. It's been fun, guys. Everyone have a very safe and happy Halloween. Make sure you get lots of candy. Have fun. Don't do anything too crazy, and enjoy it. Make sure you watch that Caps game up against the Panthers in Florida. But enjoy, guys. Until we talk again, everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.